Save the current.
And you, sir. Oh. I've been with your father, given him notice that the Duke of Cornwall and Regan, his Duchess, will be here with him this night.
How comes that?
Nay, I know not. You've heard of the news abroad?
Not I. Pray you, what are they?
Have you heard of no likely wars toward? Twixt Dukes of Cornwall and Albany?
Not a word.
You may do, then. In time. There you are, sir.
The Duke be here tonight. The better. Best. This weaves itself perforce into my business. My father hath set guard to take my brother, and I have one thing of a queasy question which I must act. Briefness and fortune work. Brother, a word, descend. Brother, I say. My father watches. Oh, sir, fly this place. Intelligence is given where you were hid. You have now the good advantage of the night. Have you not spoken against the Duke of Cornwall? He's coming hither now, either night, either haste, and Regan with him. Have you nothing said upon his part against the Duke of Albany? Advise yourself.
I am sure of the word.
I hear my father coming. Pardon me. In cunning, I must draw my sword upon you. Draw. Seem to defend yourself. Now quit you well.
Ha! Yield! Come before my father, light!
Oh, not my brother!
Torches!
Torches! So, farewell!
Some blood drawn on me would beget opinion of my more fierce endeavor. I've seen drunkards do more than this in sport.
Come! Father! Father! Stop! Stop! With no help!
Where's the villain?
Here, stood he in the dark, his sharp sword out, mumbling of wicked charms, conjuring the moon to stand auspicious mistress.
But where is he?
Look, sir, I bleed.
Where is the villain, Edmund?
He fled this way, sir, and by no means...
Pursue him, ho, go after. By no means what?
Persuade me to the murder of your lordship.
Oh, strong and fastened villain. Would he deny his letter? I never got him. Hark, the Duke's trumpet. I know not why he comes. All ports I'll bar, the villain shall not scape. The Duke must grant me that, and of my land, loyal and natural boy. I'll work the means to make thee capable.
How now, my noble friend? Since I came hither, which I can call but now, I've heard strange news.
If it be true, all vengeance comes too short, which can pursue the offender. How does my lord?
Oh, madam, my whole heart is cracked, it's cracked.
What did my father's godson seek your life? He whom my father named your Edgar?
Lady, shame would have it hid.
Was he not companion with the righteous knights that tend upon my father?
I know not, madam. 'Tis too bad, too bad.
Yes, madam, he was of that consort.
No marvel, then, though he were ill-affected. 'Tis they have put him on to the old man's death to have the expense and waste of his revenge. I have this present evening from my sister been well informed of them, and with such cautions... that if they come to sojourn at my house, I'll not be there.
Nor I, assure thee, Regan. Edmunds, I hear that you've shown your father a childlike office.
It was my duty, sir.
He did bewray his practice and receive this hurt you see, striving to apprehend him.
Is he pursued?
Aye, my good lord.
If he be taken, he shall never more be feared of doing harm. Make your own purpose how in my strength you please. For you, Edmund, whose virtue and obedience doth this instant so much commend itself, you shall be ours. Natures of such deep trust shall we much need. You we first seize on.
I shall serve you, sir, truly, however else.
For him I thank your grace.
You know not why we came to visit you.
Thus out of season, threading dark-eyed night. Occasions, noble Gloucester, of some poise, wherein we must have use of your advice. Our father he hath writ, so hath our sister, of differences, which I best thought it fit to answer from home. The several messengers from hence attend dispatch. Our good old friend, lay comforts to your bosom, and bestow your needful counsel to our businesses, which craves the instant use.
I serve you, madam. Mm. Your graces are right welcome.
according to the thread, out of this house.
Aye.
Where may we set our horses?
In the mire.
Prithee, if thou lovest me, tell me.
I love thee not.
Why, then I care not for thee.
If I had thee in Lipsbury pinfold, I'd make thee care for me.
Why dost thou use me thus? I know thee not.
Oh, fellow, I know thee.
What dost thou know me for?
A knave, a rascal, an eater of broken meats. A base, proud, shallow, beggarly, three-suited, 100-pound, filthy Woodstock and knave. A lily-livered, action-taking, horse and glass-gazing, super-serviceable, finical rogue. A one-trunk inheriting slave. One that wouldst be a bored in way of good service and art nothing but the composition of knave, coward, beggar, pander, and the son and heir of a mongrel bitch. And one whom I will beat into clamorous whining if thou deniest the least syllable of thy addition.
Why, what a monstrous fellow art thou, thus to rail upon one that is neither known of thee nor knows thee.
What a brazen-faced varlet art thou to deny thou knowest me. Is it not 2 days since I tripped up thy heels and beat thee before the king? Draw, you rogue, for though it be night, yet the moon shines. I'll make a sup of the moonshine of you, you horse and cullionly barbermonger. Draw!
Away! I'll have nothing to do with thee!
Why, you rascal! You come with letters against the king and take vanity the puppet's part against the royalty of her father, hmm? Draw, you rascal! Also carbon out of your shanks! Draw, you rogue! Come your way!
Help! Ah! Oh, murder!
Strike, slave! Stand, you rogue! Stand, you slave! Strike!
Help! Ah! Oh! Murder! Oh! Murder! Oh!
Now, with you, good my boy, if you please, I'll flesh you. Come on, you mouth.
Oh, what's the matter here?
Keep peace upon your lives. He dies that strikes again.
What's the matter?
The messengers from our sister and the king.
What's your difference? Speak.
I am scarce in breath, my lord.
No marvel you so bestirred your valley, a cowardly rascal. Nature disclaims in thee. A tailor made thee.
Ah, a strange fellow. A tailor make a man.
Yeah, a tailor, sir. Stone cutter or a painter could not have made him so ill, though they'd been but 2 hours of the trade.
Speak yet. How grew your quarrel?
This ancient ruffian, sir, whose life I have spared at suit of his grave.
Thou horse and Zed! Thou unnecessary letter! My lord, if you'll give me leave, I'll tread this unbolted villain into mortar and daub the wall of a Jakes with him.
Peace, sirrah! You beastly knave. No, you know reverence.
Oh, yes, sir. But anger hath the privilege.
Why art thou angry?
That such a slave as this should wear a sword who wears no honesty. Such smiling rogues as these renege, affirm, and turn their halcyon beaks with every gale and vary of their master, knowing naught like dogs but following. That plague upon your epileptic visage, smile you my speeches as I were a fool? Goose, if I had you upon Sarum Plain, I'd drive you cackling home to Camelot.
What, art thou mad, old fellow?
How fell you out? Say that.
No contraries hold more antipathy than I in such a knave.
Why dost thou call him knave? What is his fault?
His countenance likes me not.
No more perchance is mine, nor his, nor hers.
Sir, it is my occupation to be plain. I have seen better faces in my time than stands on any shoulder that I see before me at this instant.
Mm-hmm. This is some fellow who, having been praised for bluntness, doth affect a saucy roughness and constrains the garb quite from his nature. He cannot flatter, he. An honest mind and plain, he must speak truth. And I will take it so. If not, he's plain. These kind of knaves I know, which in this plainness harbor more craft and more corrupter ends than 20 silly ducking observants that stretch their duties nicely.
No, sir, in good faith, in sincere verity, under the allowance of your great aspect, whose influence like the wreath of radiant fire on flickering Phoebus' front.
What mean'st by this?
Go out of my dialect, which you discommend so much. I know, sir, I am no flatterer. He that beguiled you in a plain accent was a plain knave, which for my part I will not be. Though I should win your displeasure to entreat me to it.
What was the offence you gave him?
I never gave him any. It pleased the king, his master, very late, to strike at me upon his misconstruction, when he, compact, and flattering his displeasure, tripped me behind. Being down, insulted, railed, and put upon him such a deal of man as worthied him. Got praises of the king, for him attempting who was self-subdued, and, in the fleshment of this dread exploit, drew on me here again.
None of these rogues and cowards but Ajax is their fool.
Fetch forth the stocks. You stubborn ancient knave, you reverent braggart. We'll teach you.
Sir, I'm too old to learn. Call not your stocks for me. I serve the king, on whose employment I was sent to you. You shall do small respects, show too bold malice against the grace and person of my master, stocking his messenger.
Fetch forth the stocks. As I have life and honor, there shall he sit till noon.
Till noon? Till night, my lord. And all night, too.
Why, madam, if I were your father's dog, you should not use me so.
Sir, being his knave, I will.
This is a fellow of the selfsame color our sister speaks of. Come, bring away the stocks.
I beseech your grace not to do so. His fault is much, and the good king his master will check him fort. Your purpose, no correction, is such as basest and contemnest wretches, for pilferings and most common trespasses are punished with. The king must take it ill that he so lightly valued in his messenger should have him thus restrained.
I'll answer that.
My sister may receive it much more worse to have her gentleman abused, assaulted, for following her affairs. Put in his legs. Come, my good lord. Away.
I am sorry for you, friend. It is the Duke's pleasure, whose disposition all the world well knows will not be rubbed nor stopped. I'll entreat for thee.
Pray do not, sir. I've watched and travelled hard. Sometime I shall sleep out, the rest I'll whistle. A good man's fortune may grow out at heels. Give you a good morrow.
The Duke's to blame in this. It'll be all taken.
Prove the common soul. Thou out of heaven's benediction comest to the warm sun. Approach thou beacon to this underglobe, that by thy comfortable beams I may peruse this letter. Nothing almost sees miracles but misery. I notice from Cordelia, who hath most fortunately been informed of my obscured course. And shall find time from this enormous state, seeking to give losses their remedies. All weary and o'erwatched, take vantage, heavy eyes, not to behold this shameful lodging. Fortune, good night. Smile once more. Turn thy wheel.
I heard myself proclaimed. And by the happy hollow of a tree escaped the hunt. No port is free. No place that guard and most unusual vigilance does not attend my taking. As an escape, I will preserve myself. And I bethought to take the basest and most poorest shape that ever penury and contempt of man brought near to beast. My face I'll grime with filth, blanket my loins and fold my hairs in knots, and with presented nakedness outface the winds and persecutions of the sky. The country gives me proof and precedent of bedlam beggars, who, with roaring voices, strike in their numbed and mortified bare arms pins, wooden pricks, nails, sprigs of rosemary, and with this horrible object from low farms, poor pelting villages, sheepcotes and mills, slime with lunatic bans, sometime with prayers, enforce their charity. Poor Turley. poor Tom. But something yet. Edgar. And nothing.
It's strange that they should so depart from home and not send back my messenger.
As I learned the night before, there was no purpose in them of this removal.
Hail to thee, noble master.
Ah! Makes thou this shame thy pastime?
No, my lord.
he wears cruel garters. Horses are tied by the head, dogs and bears by the neck, monkeys by the loins, and men by the legs. When a man's over lusty at legs, he wears wooden nether stocks. Yeah. What's he that has so much thy place mistook to set thee here?
'Tis both he and she, your son and daughter.
No.
Yes.
No, I say.
I say yea.
No, they would not.
Well, yes, they have.
By Jupiter, I swear no.
By Juno, I swear aye.
They durst not do it. They could not, would not do it. 'Tis worse than murder to do upon respect such violent outrage. Resolve me, with all modest haste, which way thou mightst deserve, or they employ this usage, coming from us.
My lord, when at their home I did commend your highness' letters to them, ere I was risen from the place that showed my duty, kneeling, came there a reeking post, stewed in his haste, half breathless, panting forth from Goneril, his mistress, salutations. Delivered letters, spite of intermission, which presently they read, on whose contents they summoned up their meaning, straight to horse, commanded me to follow and attend the leisure of their answer, gave me cold looks. And meeting here the other messenger, whose welcome I perceived had poisoned mine, being the very fellow which of late displayed so saucily against your highness.
Huh? Yeah?
Having more man than wit about me, drew. He raised the house with loud and coward cries. Your son and daughter found this trespass worth the shame which here it suffers.
Winter's not gone yet if the wild geese fly that way. Fathers that wear rags do make their children blind, but fathers that bear bags shall see their children kind. Fortune, that Arendor, ne'er turns the key for the poor. But for all this, thou shalt have as many dollars for thy daughters as thou canst tell in a year. Oh, how this mother swells up toward my heart. Hysterica passio, down thou climbing sorrow, thy elements below. Where is this daughter?
With the Earl, sir, here with him.
Follow me not!
Major, no more offense but what you speak of.
None. How chance the king comes with so small a number?
Thou hast been set in the stocks for that question. Thou hast well deserved it.
Why, fool?
We'll set thee to school to an ant to teach thee there's no labour in the winter. All that follow the noses are led by the eyes, but blind men, and there's not a nose among 20 but can tell him that's stinking. Let go thy hold when a great wee runs down a hill, lest he break thy neck with following, but the great one that goes upwards, let him draw thee after. When a wise man gives thee better counsel, give me mine again. And have none but knaves follow it, since a fool gives it.
Where learned you this, fool?
Not i' the stocks, fool. Deny to speak with me? They are sick, they are weary, they've travelled all the night, mere fetches. The images of revolt and flying off. Fetch me a better answer.
My dear lord, you know the fiery quality of the Duke. How unremovable and fixed he is in his own course.
Vengeance, plague, death, confusion, fiery, what quality? Why, Gloucester, I would speak with the Duke of Cornwall and his wife.
Well, my good lord, I have informed them, sir.
Informed them? Dost understand me, man?
Aye, my good lord.
The king would speak with Cornwall. The dear father would with his daughter speak, commands their service. Are they informed of this? My breath and blood. Fiery, the fiery Duke. Tell the hot Duke. No, but not yet. Maybe he is not well. Infirmity doth still neglect all office to which our health is bound. We are not ourselves when nature, being oppressed, commands the mind to suffer with the body. I'll forbear. And am fallen out with my more headier will to take the indisposed and sickly fit for the sound man. Death on my state, wherefore should he sit here? This act persuades me that this remotion of the Duke and her is practice only. Give me my servant forth. Go. Tell the Duke and's wife I'd speak with them now, presently. Bid them come forth and hear me, or at their chamber door I'll beat the drum till it cries sleep to death.
I would have all well betwixt you.
Oh, me. My heart. My rising heart. Don't cry to it, my uncle, as the cockney did to the eels when she put them in a paste alive. She knocked him with a coxcomb with a stick and cried, damn, wanton, damn! It was her brother that, in pure kindness to his horse, butted his hay. Good morrow to you both.
Hail to your grace.
I'm glad to see your highness.
Regan. I think you are. I know what reason I have to think so. If thou shouldst not be glad, I would divorce me from thy mother's tomb, sepulchring an adulteress. Ah, are you free? Some other time for that. Beloved Regan, my sister's naught. Oh, Regan, she hath tied sharp tooth unkindness like a vulture here. I can scarce speak to thee. That's not believe with how depraved a quality. Oh, Regan.
I pray you, sir, take patience. I have hope you less know how to value her desert than she to scant her duty.
Say, how is that?
I cannot think my sister in the least would fail in her obligation. If, sir, perchance she had restrained the riots of your followers, 'tis on such ground, and to such wholesome end that clears her from all blame.
My curses on her!
Oh, sir, you are old. Nature in you stands on the very verge of her confine. You should be ruled and led by some discretion that discerns your state better than you yourself. Therefore, I pray you, that to my sister you do make return. Say you have wronged her, sir.
Ask her forgiveness? Do you but mark how this becomes the house? Dear daughter, I confess that I am old. Age is unnecessary. On my knees, I beg that you'll vouchsafe me raiment, bed, and food.
But, sir, no more of these unsightly tricks. Return you to my sister.
Never, Regan. She hath abated me of half my train. Looked black upon me. Struck me with her tongue, most serpent-like about the very heart. All the stored vengeances of heaven fall on her ingrateful top. Strike her young bones, you taking airs with lameness.
Fie, sir,
you nimble lightnings, dart your blinding flames into her scornful eyes. Infect her beauty, you fen-sucked fogs, drawn by the powerful sun to fall and blast her pride.
Oh, the blessed God, so will you wish on me when the rash mood is on.
Never, Regan. Thou shalt not have our curse. Thy tender, hefty nature shall not give thee o'er to harshness. Her eyes are fierce, but thine to comfort and not burn. 'Tis not in thee to grudge my pleasures, to cut off my train, to bandy hasty words, to scant my sizes, and in conclusion to oppose the bolt against my coming in. Thou better knowest the offices of nature. Bond of childhood, effects of courtesy, dues of gratitude. Thy half of the kingdom hast thou not forgot, wherein I thee endowed.
Good sir, to the purpose.
Who put my man in the stocks?
What trumpet's that?
I know, it is my sister's. This approves her letter. She would soon be here. Has your lady come?
This is a slave whose easy-borrowed pride dwells in the fickle grace of her he follows. Out, varlet, from my sight!
What means your grace?
How came my man either stocks, Regan? I have good hope thou didst not know it. Who comes here? Oh, heavens! If you do love old men, if your sweet sway allow obedience, if you yourselves are old, make it your cause, send down and take my part. Art not ashamed to look upon this beard? Oh, Regan, will you take her by the hand?
Take me not by the hand, sir. How have I offended? All's not offence that indiscretion finds, and dotage terms.
Oh,
Sides, you are too tough. Will you yet hold? How came my man in the stocks?
I set him there, sir. But his own disorders deserved much less advancement.
You. Did you?
I pray you, Father, being weak seems so. If till the expiration of a month you will return and sojourn with my sister, dismissing half your train, come then to me. I am now from home, and out of that provision which will be needful for your entertainment.
Return to her, and 50 men dismissed? No. Rather, I abjure all roofs, and seek to wage against the enmity of the air, to be a comrade with the wolf and owl, necessity's sharp pinch. Return with her? Why, the hot-blooded France, who dowerless took our youngest born, I could as well be brought to knee his throne and squire-like pension begged to keep base life afoot. Return with her? Persuade me rather to be slave and sumpter to that detested groom.
At your choice, sir.
I prithee, daughter, do not make me mad. I'll no more trouble thee, my child. Farewell. We'll no more meet, no more see one another. And yet thou art my flesh, my blood, my daughter. Or rather a disease that's in my flesh, which I must needs call mine. Thou art a boil, a plague sore, an embossed carbuncle in my corrupted blood. But I'll not chide thee. Let shame come when it will. I do not call it, I do not bid the thunder-bearer shoot, nor tell tales of thee to high-judging Jove. Mend when thou canst, be better at thy leisure. I can be patient. I can stay with Regan. I and my 100 knights.
Not altogether so. I look not for you yet, nor am provided for your fit welcome. Give ear, sir, to my sister. For those that mingle reason with your passion must be content to think you old. And so... But she knows what she does.
Is this well spoken?
I dare avouch it, sir. What 50 followers? Is it not well? What should we need of more? Yea, or so many, sith for both charge and danger speak against so great a number. How in one house should many people under two commands hold amity? 'Tis hard. Almost impossible.
Why might not you, my lord, receive attendance from those that she calls servants, or from mine?
Why not, my lord? If then they chance to slack ye, we could control them. If you will come to me, for now I spy a danger, I do entreat you, bring but 25. To no more will I give place or notice.
I gave you all.
And in good time you gave it.
Made you my guardians, my depositaries, but kept a reservation to be followed by such a number. What? Must I come to you with 25? Regan said you so.
And speak again, my lord. No more with me.
Those wicked creatures yet do look more favored when others are more wicked. Not being worst stands in some rank of praise. I'll go with thee. Thy 50 yet doth double 25. And thou art twice her love.
Hear me, my lord. What need you 25, 10, or 5 to follow in a house where twice so many have a command to tend you?
What need one?
Oh, reason, not the need. Our basest beggars are in the poorest things superfluous. Allow not nature more than nature needs. Man's life is cheap as beasts. Thou art a lady. If only to go warm were gorgeous, why, nature needs not what thou gorgeous wearest, which scarcely keeps thee warm, but for true need. Oh, heavens, give me that patience. Patience I need. You see me here, you gods, a poor old man, as full of grief as age, wretched in both. If it be you that stirs these daughters' hearts against their father, fool me not so much to bear it tamely. Touch me with noble anger, and let not women's weapons' water drops stain my man's cheeks. Now, you unnatural hags, I will have such revenges on you both as all the world shall... I shall do such things. What they are yet I know not, but they shall be the terrors of the earth. I think I'll weep. No, I'll not weep. I have full cause for weeping. But this heart shall break into 100,000 floors, or else I'll weep. Oh, fool. I shall go mad.
Let us withdraw. There'll be a storm.
This house is little. The old man and his people cannot be well bestowed.
'Tis his own blame, hath put himself from rest and must needs taste his folly.
For his particular, I'll receive him gladly. But not one follower.
So am I purposed. Where is my lord of Gloucester?
Followed the old man forth. He's returned.
The king is in high rage.
Whither is he going?
He calls to horse, but will I know not whither.
'Tis best to give him way. He leads himself.
Hear me, my lord. Entreat him by no means to stay.
Alas, the night comes on, and the high winds do sorely ruffle. For many miles about, there's scarce a bush.
Oh, sir, to willful men the injuries that they themselves procure must be their schoolmasters. Shut up your doors. He's tended by a desperate train. And what they may incense him to, being apt to have his ear abused, wisdom bids fear.
Shut up your doors, my lord. 'Tis a wild night. My Regan counsels well. Come, out of the storm.